Well, it's a match made in heaven. Now, their love story has been seen around the world.
I, Beecher, take you, April.
I, April, take you, Beecher.
I vow to love and honor you.
Promise to remain by your side.
I do.
I do.
This is the story of how a seemingly perfect Christian couple went against evangelical culture to embrace their authentic selves and found a healthier marriage in the process.
This is the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. My name is Beecher.
This is April.
And this is episode 12. We are coming to an end of our saga, of our story. I mean, I'm only 32 and April's 34, so we got a lot more story to live, we're about to be caught up to present day.
Yes, to where we are now.
And after this episode, we are going to for sure have a Q&A episode. We may have more, but it's not for sure. What is for sure is that we want to keep this conversation going. It just might be in a little bit different format. So we've had so many people reach out with Instagram messages and emails to @nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. And it's just been really, really wonderful to hear so many other people's stories. And so many people are like, you're the only ones we know that have this story. You're the only ones that we know that are dealing with this. We'd love for a community. And so we have finally settled on a community that we're going to create. And it's going to be through Patreon. So if you want to check out the details,
we'll just put the link in the show notes. It'll be easier. But it'll just be patreon.com/nonbinarymarriage, I think.
Perfect. And so we have a few different options. But in general, we are going to have bonus episodes that we are releasing, going into more details of our story, that will just be for people that are signing up for the community, because we've pretty much covered everything after today that we want to be public, that we want out there for everyone to hear. But there's a lot more to our story, a lot more details, a lot more things that are super close to us that we feel like we can talk about with people that really want to hear it.
Well, there's just details of that deal with relationships that are ongoing, that are not quite settled yet, that we just don't feel the most comfortable sharing details publicly.
Yeah, so after the Q&A, we may have more public episodes, but we'll definitely create this private community. So check us out on Patreon. You can look at those different options and sign up there, and it'd be great to meet y'all. So that's another good thing about it. All right, so April, what are we talking about today? Where'd we leave off?
I think we left off with me bragging about my vibrator. I'm a believer, not a doubter. So we don't have to talk about that anymore. So one thing that Beecher and I realized that we kind of left out from the last episode too was Beecher got off Reddit and had stopped posting to Reddit, but kind of like a deal that we had made together, that we decided together, was that Beecher could make a private Instagram.
That was such a game changer for me, because I was out to, I don't know, what, 20, 30 people at this point that I was telling and kind of in private conversations.
That you were non-binary.
That I was non-binary. And I created an Instagram and let, like, at first, I think it was like 6 of my friends follow it. And then it was private. And then I let, you know, up to 15 or 20 at some point. I think it finally ended with like 40. But during this season, I had a place to post and get good feedback that were not creepy people hitting on me.
Right.
And they were trusted friends. And that was such a big deal, because I was able to, when I was feeling really dysphoric after a really long day wearing professor clothes and walking around this, you know, Christian college, I would get home and be able to put on something, take a picture, post it to my private Instagram, and my best friends would come alongside and be like, you look so good. And just give me encouragement, which is really what I was wanting. And that was a game changer for me. During this season two, I was using the name Bree some. And the reason I was doing that was for a number of reasons. And it's because, one, I wasn't comfortable with the shame aspect for Beecher to be doing these things, because Beecher was still a little bit of this name that other people had built up and told me who that was. They told me who Beecher was. And so when Beecher put on a dress, it was just hard for me to wrap my head around that. And so I used the name Bree as like an outlet. And so when I was more femme, I would go by the name Bree. And also anonymity, because when I was on Reddit, I needed a name that wasn't my name, because I was closeted still. And my Instagram handle, I had it be Greenlight Bree, because I wanted it to represent the Greenlight Knights, but also just once again be an anonymous, just fun name. And there was a few reasons behind the name Bree. One, if you look in Irish, what Bree means, it means marshland or swampland, which, of course, earlier I talk about my theology behind being non-binary and dusk and marsh. So I felt like there was meaning there. Also, my sixth grade teacher had the first name Bree, and in sixth grade, I definitely watched her and wanted to be her. And so that name. But I will say, and this is kind of getting to where we are now, as I grew more comfortable with myself and I realized it wasn't a light switch that I had to be either male or female, I could just be me, Beecher really started to feel like a name that I connected with and that I still loved and that fit me. And so about 4 or 5 months ago, I finally was like, all right, yeah. I think Bree served me really well. And I really am so glad that I had that name, but Beecher is what I want to go with. So
we also kind of looked at it, at least for me, and I think both of us too, we looked at your gender identity as some days you're male, some days you're female, and some days you're in between. And it was still kind of a binary way of thinking by having Bree, in a sense, because it was just like the step that we needed to take before we could just say, like, oh no, Beecher's just always non-binary, and that can include all of the things.
And the best way to kind of explain it is the swings were really big at first. It was like, yeah. No, I am Beecher, I am very male. And then, oh no, I'm Bree, I'm going to put on all the makeup, I'm going to put on, wear breast forms, I'm going to put on the whole outfit, shave my legs, do everything. And then over time, that pendulum swing got less and less and less. And now there's still mm-hmm. some swing. I mean, the other day you looked at me, you're like, you look a little more masculine today, or you're feeling a little more feminine. I'm like, yeah, maybe. But honestly, the pendulum swinging's much smaller now.
Much more
now. Slight.
Yeah, you're just much more androgynous. Yeah, every day.
Yeah, I just look at something and think, do I like this? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I want to wear it. Whereas before, I very much was like, I like this, I want to wear it. Oh, that means I have to be Bree, and I have to be super feminine in order for it to be okay to wear this.
And also a lot of drag queens have names, like, for when they're in femme. And, like, for you, it wasn't a performance. Like, you weren't performing as Bree. It was still very much a part of you. So it just took time to, you know, just to work through it and come to.
One thing we didn't even mention in the podcast is a couple years ago when we were working through this, we started watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And it was interesting, but I realized at that time that I'm like, I am not a drag queen.
Yeah.
I was like, I do not do this for attention. I do not do this for performance. I respect drag queens. I'm so glad that they're doing what they're doing. And I enjoyed watching the show. But I think that might have been even a little encouraging for you, because at that time you were not, I don't think, the
biggest.
Well,
I didn't know. I didn't like the full femme side as much, because to me it did feel a little more drag queeny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't know if I could be attracted to that, so.
Okay, so at this time, I have an outlet with my Instagram. I'm very much utilizing the name Bree. I'm fluctuating my gender back and forth, and you have started seeing a therapist.
Yes.
How is that going?
Yeah, so it was going very well on the getting comfortable with my sexuality front. I was exploring myself. I was getting more comfortable with Beecher with that, too. So the next thing was to see, okay, I know that I can be attracted to women. Can I be attracted to Beecher in the more femme way? And so through talking to my counselor, one of the things that came up a lot was I kind of had this feeling that Beecher had betrayed me, because, you know, I married at the time a man that I thought was a man, my husband. And the life that I had pictured for us as this, you know, straight, cisgender, good Christian couple and good Christian family, you know, that life was kind of disappearing before my eyes. And I just had a lot of hurt around that, and I had to process that. And also had to realize, like, figure out the root of why I was holding on to that. Was I holding on to that because that was what I was taught to hold on to, or was that really what I wanted? So I went through all of that with my counselor, and she actually suggested that that obviously my feelings were valid, but that she thought it could be healing and healthy for me to hold, like, my own just private service to say goodbye to Beecher, the man that I married, and hold like a almost like a memorial service, but just like a service to say goodbye to that person, so that I could get to know like the real Beecher, the Beecher who I still love. And that was very much part of who I married, you know, but just to say goodbye to the life that I thought I had. And I never actually did the service.
We have an urn with coffee grounds in it. And we say, oh, there's Beecher the man.
Full disclosure, I did it. Beecher the man. Yeah, no, I didn't follow through with that. But honestly, just I did visualize having the service. And for some reason, like, that just was enough for me. And
I mean, you were grieving at the time. And I feel like your therapist basically said, you're grieving. It's okay to grieve.
Yeah.
You're losing something that you thought you had. And you're losing something that our culture, evangelical culture, raises up on a pedestal, which is a long-lasting heterosexual cisgender marriage.
Yeah.
And you were losing a lot. And so I think that was good for someone to affirm you and say, yeah, you're feeling all the right things. You are losing something.
And I remember, too, even in moments that, you know, Beecher and I would be intimate, when Beecher would be more femme, I would get really into it, and we had some really good, you know, steamy sessions. And then afterwards, I would almost feel guilty, like in a shame way of like, I shouldn't be enjoying that. And then I would second guess it, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I was only enjoying it because, I don't know, making up some excuse. And so it was just a long process of I was constantly overthinking things, and it was just a really constant battle of, is this okay, for one? And two, what is my holdup here? Is the holdup because of what other people think? Is the holdup because I've been indoctrinated to think that this is wrong? Or is it actually wrong? You know, what do I want? So I had to figure out what I want. And being a woman in evangelical circles, you naturally just are told to squash your desires, especially as a woman. You know, you're taught to submit to your husband, that your needs come last. You take care of your spouse, you take care of your kids, and it doesn't really matter what you want as much, because your job is to serve other people. So I already had that working against me. So yeah, it was just figuring out what I wanted. And then I eventually just realized, okay, I want this marriage to work. I want to stay married to Beecher. I am in love with Beecher. There are still days that it's hard, and there's days that I'm not attracted to them, but there are many more days that I am, and I want, you know, I just need to get over myself and the inhibitions that the church told me didn't matter.
So just to set the timeline, because I don't know if we mentioned that at the beginning of this, this is spring of 2021. The pandemic is still very much going on.
Yeah.
April and I, actually, we got COVID in February when she and I were supposed to get away for a long weekend. So we ended up punting that. And then in March, right, we're in the middle of all of this that we're talking about. April and I got to go to a family member's cabin in the woods with just she and I. And we just got to be there with each other for a few days and drop our kids off at the grandparents' house. And I brought a dress, the dress that April actually bought me, the first dress that she bought me, and I wore it, like, around the cabin. And I remember April being like, oh, you brought that. Oh, you're wanting to wear it. Because you weren't saying anything negative and you weren't grimacing, but you were just, like, dealing with it.
Yeah, it was a struggle. I was not, it was just hard to see. And I just wasn't used to it, and I didn't know how to wrap my head around it.
And I remember going to dinner with you that night. And we were sitting there, and I'm like, all right, what do you want out of the marriage? What can I do better? Because I'm very sentimental and emotionally, like, wanting to connect whenever we get one-on-one. I'm like, what do you want more out of this marriage? And I remember you saying, I just want you to be less feminine. And I was like, oh, that sounds like something I don't know if I can, like, what? And I remember you being like, yeah, for me, can you just be less feminine? Like, you can be Bree sometimes, but then just be less feminine the rest of the time. And I had a really hard time with that, because it was just still back and forth.
I was still taking two steps forward and a couple steps back. I think at this point it was pretty neutral. Like, well, no, I was probably progressing just very slowly. But yeah, it was just really hard for me to... And that was the thing. And through therapy, I eventually, once I would get in these moods, would get to the root of it. And I'd start asking myself, why am I bothered right now? Mm-hmm. Am I bothered because I am actually bothered by this? Like, is this disgusting? Am I disturbed? Like, what is the root emotion, and where is that coming from? And I think almost every single time it was coming from a place of fear of what other people would think if they saw me being cool with this.
Yeah. And I will say, I remember at this point, I wasn't folding as much as I did early in the marriage.
Right. And that hurt me too, because it felt, because early on you were very kind and gracious with how I was struggling.
But also very emotional. Like, a statement like that would have spiraled me. And instead I was like, okay, I really can't do that. Like, this is me. And then it's like, I'm just being me. And I've spent my whole life being less feminine for other people.
Well, and it just hurt me too, because like, I saw you choosing you over me, which was just not something that I was used to. It felt like I had lost control over the relationship. And yeah, it was a lot of stuff. Because I also had to realize, too, that I was actually being selfish by making you not be who you were. But I was still coming to terms with the fact that this was who you were.
Right.
Because it was like, why do you have to do this? Like, why do you have to wear a dress?
Yeah, it was a strained weekend. But on that day after that conversation over dinner, I definitely wore a dress outside for the first time ever. We were staying in a cabin in the woods. It was a walking trail nearby. I put on a big jacket over the dress and leggings and walked down to this walking trail. And when no one else was around, I took off this big jacket. And oh my gosh, it just felt like I could breathe deeper than I've ever breathed before. It was just me in nature, and I just felt more me. And it was wonderful and refreshing. And then I put the jacket back on and I walked back up to the cabin, and I actually passed a couple that were walking down the road. And I, of course, kind of like smiled and nodded and like hid my dress in the jacket. So I was still very much ashamed or afraid for people to see, but it was a big deal because it was only like 4 or 5 months before this that you, April, had told me the day you wear a dress outside of the house is the day our marriage ends.
Yeah, I was not consistent.
No. Yeah, and that morning you were like, cool. Not saying celebratory, but you were cool with it. You were like, okay, go.
Because the thing is, I love you and loved you very, very much. So it was a constant battle of dealing with my hesitations, but also being so happy that you were happy. Like I'd have days where I would really celebrate you because I just saw the freedom and the happiness that you had. And the more I saw you happy and the more you had these joyous moments too, the easier it was for me to just let the other stuff go, like my hesitations, because like those started to weigh less when I saw how happy you were. And then you just treated me so with so much more kindness too, and our marriage got better, like our relationship got better. You were a happier dad. Everything was just better.
And my therapist helped me kind of frame that moment too, because I was just me in nature with God wearing that dress. And like, you know, I'd most of the time when I'd gone before God in prayer and in a moment of meditation, I'm like trying to be this strong man of God and apologizing for not. And this time I just got to stand before God as a daughter of God, so to speak. And at the time, that was something that I really just needed to feel. And now I don't feel like I need to classify myself as a son or a daughter or anything like that. I'm just Beecher. But at that time, just being able to express the feminine and feel seen by God and feel accepted and feel loved and feel me was really powerful. And I was getting a lot of confidence during this time. One was because of that Instagram. One was because I was getting experiences like going out in the woods and just being so euphoric. Also, though, I was finally really taking in media that was very affirming and showing me non-binary people. So Alok V. Menon, you can look at their content. Jeffrey Marsh, look at their content. I really started following them on Instagram, reading what they were posting. I bought Alok's book. I also, the best book that I've ever read was a book called Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And oh my gosh, this book at the beginning says like, this is for women everywhere. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to read it, because one of my friends had posted a quote and it just like so spoke to me. I love that book. I cannot recommend it enough. If you are at a place where you are wrestling with being your authentic true self, and wrestling with what culture is telling you you need to be, and sacrificing, being willing to sacrifice the things that the world say are so important. It's an amazing book, and it tells the story of Glennon Doyle, and coming out as bisexual and getting married to a woman, and just a number of great things, and how she works through it on a spiritual level. Anyways, can't recommend enough. My book is covered, and it was so wonderful. Also, during this time, I'm Zooming friends still, because this is the pandemic, and I can't really go see friends. I don't have the courage to go out in public around other people and address. I will say one great thing that I don't think I've mentioned until now is that when I met with my therapist, it had to be over telehealth because it was during the pandemic. That was such a big opportunity for me and a blessing, because I was able to present more feminine on the Zoom sessions because I was at my house, at my computer, and I had that opportunity and no one was seeing it. And that really helped me build confidence because my therapist was responding really, really well. Of course, she's not grimacing and having issues with it. That gave me confidence. And now in the spring of 2021, I'm Zooming friends in full femme. And my friends, the same ones that are following my Instagram, are Zooming with me, and I'm talking with them. I'm laughing and I'm crying and I'm just enjoying it. And so every month, every 5 weeks or so, I was pretty much Zooming people. I Zoomed your brother at one point, April. Mm-hmm. I Zoomed Andrew, and that was really cool. I Zoomed just a number of friends. And once again, I started to build a community of people, and that wasn't just April. So when April was having a bad day, I could lean into having positive, supportive encouragement from this community that was supporting me.
I remember sometimes we would have fun with it too. Like I make TikToks, and sometimes I dress like a dude, like a Theo bro, and I put on a fake stash and I have a wig and I wear some of Beecher's more manlier clothes. And I remember one night, I think it happened to be a green light night for you, or I don't know. You were in a dress and you had a full face of makeup and you had done your hair, and I was making a TikTok as a Theo bro, and we just took some really goofy pictures, like gender bending, and it was...
And I posted those on Green Light Brie on Instagram, yeah. And like people got to see it. It wasn't just this private thing I was keeping only to myself, but it was out there. And once again, not a lot of people were seeing it, not public, but it was out there.
Well, so you make a much prettier woman than I make a dude.
Well, thank you.
I am a creepy dude. Although it is part of the character. The character is creepy.
Yeah, that's what kind of what you're going for.
Yeah, but still.
One thing that we get asked a lot from friends and family and even people on TikTok is, okay, where are your kids in all this? We have a 5-year-old girl and a 3-year-old girl. And where are they in all of this? At this time, this was, a year ago, I guess. And I really started to show them kind of me just being more feminine. I would wear a dress around the house. I would play dress up with them where they'd pick out clothes. And
they love that.
Yeah. And I would put on the clothes that they picked out. They could pick out men's clothes, women's clothes, whatever. They would get dressed up. I'd get dressed up. We'd do each other's makeup. It wasn't very good makeup.
And it was just so innocent too, because they don't have the full concept. Like, society hasn't beat down girl things and boy things into them either. And so they, even before we ever said anything to them, which we didn't tell them anything until much, much later. But like, Raylan would want you to wear a dress, and it was just completely normal. And
I don't even necessarily remember exactly when this moment was in my journey, but there was a time that Raylan really wanted to play dress up with me, and April gave me the green light. She's like, yeah, go have fun. Go play dress up. I'm totally cool with it. And I was like, okay. And literally, Raylan picked out like a cute dress and shoes and all this stuff. And so I like put it on and I showed her, and her jaw dropped and her eyes got big. And she said, "Daddy, you look so pretty." And she thought I was the coolest person on the planet. I literally got her dressed up. She went out and showed April. I went to the bathroom and I cried. Mm. I was just crying because I was like,
it's so sweet.
It's so sweet. And it's just... You think about it, all this, how it's going to affect your kids and how your kids are going to respond. And at the age that she was, she thought I was the coolest. And at that time, this was even before my Instagram. This was before I was Zooming with friends. This is pretty much, she's one of the first people that ever really complimented and thought I was so amazing because of this. And it was really moving. And so...
I mean, because truly, the patriarchy hurts everybody. It doesn't just hurt women. It hurt you in the sense that you felt like you had to fit this manly box and you couldn't be yourself because that society said, no, you have a penis. You have to do this.
Yeah. No, I know. And it was just, our house became very free of gender, and it was
very... And kids just are so... they're honest. They'll tell you exactly what they think, but they're not judgy. There's no judgment. They haven't been taught to be judgmental.
And half the times they'll play dress up, they pick one of the worst looking dresses that could ever fit me. And so it's not about that. It's about having fun, exploring, and just having a good time. And so at this point, I'm painting my nails with my kids for events, and being goofy with them and playing dress up. And so that's really going well. And I'm feeling closer with my kids than ever. Because once again, early on in my story, if I came home in April and the girls were painting their nails, that would be a trigger for me. And I would literally have to go on a walk, or I'd have to go back to the bedroom, or I'd have to do something else because I wanted to do it and didn't do it. Now I'm literally one of the, you know, they say, you want to paint nails? Yes, let's paint nails. Let's have fun with it. So that was great.
So one thing that we had been talking about during this time, we had a wedding that we were invited to in Colorado in June of 2021. And it was in Colorado, so all the friends that we were going to were affirming. Also, the pandemic was still going on, but they were requiring everyone be vaccinated, so we felt good about it. So one thing that we had talked about with some friends was one night after the wedding, we'd go back to Denver and hang out with some friends, and Beach was like, what if we went out to like a drag show or a gay bar or something, and you go at full femme?
So... as I created my Instagram, I was Zooming with friends, a large number of them, like an oddly large number of them, lived in Denver, Colorado. The wedding was 2 hours from Denver. And so, yeah, we said, let's just stay an extra 2 days. I pitched it to my friends. So, like, I've never been out in femme being seen by other people. Do you want to do it? And they were like, yes. They were all like, yes, yes, yes. A couple of my friends that were flying out to Colorado for the wedding decided to stay an extra 2 days just so they could go out with us. And so, yeah, and we talked a lot about it. I talked a lot about it with my therapist. You talked a lot about it with your therapist leading up to it. And, yeah, we went to Colorado. April was like, you were such a great support for me. You helped me, like
I helped you pick out the outfit and the shoes. We went shopping for the shoes.
We did.
Yeah, and I let you wear one of my purses. Actually, it was my dress. Yeah, and I remember your friend... in her apartment before we left, gave you a haircut, and I was opinionated on that. And like, I could see all your friends too, like, especially right when you first came out, like, they would look at you and then they'd look at me, almost like when the bride walks down the aisle because everyone wants to look at the husband to see how he's reacting. I felt like that's how everyone was looking at me.
Well, you like saw me already, and you were like, okay, I'm gonna announce you. And so, like, we're in this tiny apartment, and April was like, all right, now introducing Bree. And like, you open the door.
Yeah, this is when you were still Bree.
Yeah. And like, and I was fully, fully femme, like breast forms, dress, nails, makeup, jewelry, like heels. It's the only time I've ever worn heels.
It's honestly unfair how good looking you look as a woman.
Thank you. That's really sweet. And so, yeah, so I went out. There was like eight of us, and we all...
Yeah, we went to a drag show that night.
It was at a gay bar.
And it was the first time either of us had ever been to a gay bar. And as someone who has been to other clubs, I had never felt safer in my entire life.
So I'd never been to any club. I'd been to a few bars, maybe. But by few, I mean like maybe three times in my life. And so it was a very wild experience. But, you know, there was a lot to take in. And it was not necessarily something that I was used to. But... I loved how wild and crazy it was everywhere, because that didn't mean eyes were all shifting to me.
Yeah, no one was staring at you at all.
Right. I loved the experience, not because of the go-go dancers. They were funny, but no. I loved it because I just felt safe, and I felt like I was myself and no one cared. And I told April, we talked a lot about it afterwards, and I even talked to my parents about it at the time, was just like, I would love for me to be able to get all dressed up as Brie for the first time and go out and go to a church. Like, that'd be great. If it was a safe place for me to go and be authentic and be loved and encouraged, great. I can't. I'd be run off with pitchforks. I have to go to a gay bar. If I don't go there, everywhere else in society is going to grimace.
Well, there would be some affirming churches now, but yeah, overall, the churches that we had been going to
at that time, that's what we thought. And so we went out, and it was just a magical night. I don't drink very often. Usually when I have a few drinks, I really feel it. I had several drinks that night. I never felt it. I think my adrenaline and my euphoria was running so high that I was just like on cloud nine,
or it was
but
just
like
cheap liquor.
Possibly. My feet hurt so bad after being in those heels for 4 hours. But dancing was so much fun, and meeting up with friends and being loved and seen and encouraged. It was really wonderful.
Yeah.
And you see me there at the gay bar, and I'm look like a woman from a distance, I think. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very femme. How'd you feel?
Well, at this time, I was very much separating Bree from Beecher. And I was looking at it as like, I'm still getting to know Bree. It was almost like a different person in my head. It was just how I was coping at the time was separating the two. I guess technically I would have been married to Bree, but we were getting to know each other still. And so I was kind of looking at it as like, you were just one of my girlfriends and we were just going out.
And that's how you treated me. And I loved it. You were super sweet and like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And this, and like, hold your purse.
But then the next morning, I wake up to Beecher, who's got leftover eyeliner from the night before, and then I think it was hit with shame and just confusion about how I should feel, and it was just when, you know, the glitter had worn off, and it was just me and my thoughts and my fears, and our marriage didn't end, like I had said. And I went out with you in the dress. But yeah, I was a little standoffish for the next few days. And it wasn't because I was upset with Beecher, but I was processing a lot. And I knew that the way that I processed some of those thoughts would hurt Beecher. And I told you this too, because you were kind of, I could tell you were bothered that I was bothered.
Yeah,
and
course.
I just told you, like, I am processing. I don't really know how to feel about it, but I don't want to tell you the negative feelings that I have until I fully processed it.
And you were still with a therapist and you were able to go to her and express some
yeah.
things. So yeah, it was difficult because for me, I was just like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was cloud nine. And I want to like talk about it and debrief. And,
I know. I was
and,
like,
and
I don't
April was like,
it.
No. And we had to like drive to the airport and then like fly back. And we're like right by each other. It was like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, I only want to talk about it. And so there was definitely some tension that week. And I think one question you had for me is like, okay, Beecher, you did it. Now, how often do you want to do it? And also, I think the question you were asking me too is like, so do you want to be Bree all the time? Like, was that so great that
yeah,
it's going to be you every day.
Right. And that was definitely something that I was thinking and wondering and definitely would not know how to process that if that were true. Because
up until this point, as you've told on this podcast, every time you'd given me a little, I would say, I loved it. I want a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I want a little more.
Well, also, I was like, are you going to want to go back and do this in our small conservative town too? Like, because there was something about Colorado that felt safe. It was far enough away from our reality that I could do it. But the idea of doing that, where people know us and we're, you know, they're all the Trump flags are. I was like, oh, that scared me.
The night was absolutely wonderful. It was fun. It was an adrenaline rush. But I kind of came to terms in the last 6 months that Bree isn't me.
Mm.
Like it was a necessary exploration. I needed to explore that night. I needed to have all the restraints lifted and really go out there and experience that. And so I have not actually gone full femme with breast forms and all that.
Mm-mm.
At all, really, since then. And that was a year ago.
Yeah.
But I have been more feminine more often.
Right. More that. Androgynous, just
yeah.
kind of in between.
Right. And so that was really interesting. And then one thing, we looked back at pictures, trying to figure out what to talk about. And one really interesting thing that we'd never really totally connected is that in July and August, right after the Colorado trip, I grew a beard out.
Yeah.
Like, I let my facial hair grow out. It was not a conscious decision. I still played around with makeup. I still wore some dresses. But I had a beard for, like, 2 or 3 months. And I don't know, like, psychologically, I just wonder if it was like a, okay, I was just, like, full woman for a night. Now I want to go back to embracing the masculine. Like, or I want to, I don't know. It's odd.
That kind of had happened too. Like on nights that you would have green light Bree, you wouldn't necessarily have this like need to do more feminine for very often. It was almost just like you had satisfied that side of yourself. But then as the further time went by where you weren't exploring the feminine side, the more anxious you would get, the more stressed you would get. The more depressed you would get.
It really does feel like a light switch at this time. That's why we
yeah.
said gender fluid more than non-binary, because it would be, I'm fully female, and then the next day okay, now I'm going to be fully male and I'll grow out a beard. And right. then because I wasn't getting necessarily comfortable with just slightly exploring along the way, it would just be pressure on that light switch, pressure on that right. light switch. And then it would switch again. And then I need to express the feminine, where now I'm not driven by compulsion. I'm not driven by the need to express the feminine. I am living just expressing myself every right. single day. And it's not this tension on this light switch and this, a lot of energy to switch back and forth. It's mm-hmm. just natural in me. And so, yeah, I think that was something that we were going through and it was very necessary. During this summer, I was also processing, okay, I've just gone out in Colorado and Fem, I'm about to go back to this professor job at this Christian school and I'm going to go back into hiding, so to speak. Yeah. And I had written this screenplay that was all about a transgender pastor. It's a feature film drama, and it's a screenplay about a transgender pastor who's basically outed and has to juggle being non-binary with their marriage, with the church, with the congregation, all these things. And it was very, very personal and very, very raw. And I've mentioned it before on the podcast. I had submitted it to some film festivals. And so I'm back in hiding, so to speak, at this conservative place. And my screenplay is a finalist at the Nashville Film Festival. And
it was the first festival that you had, where you submitted, where you put that you were non-binary on the application too.
Yep. And it was a finalist and they said, congratulations, finalist. And they put it out online.
Since Nashville is such a legit film festival, Google picked it up and made it the top thing. So if you were to Google Beecher's name last fall, the very first thing that would pop up is Beecher Renning is a non-binary filmmaker from Tennessee.
Yeah, because I had put that in the short bio when I submitted to the festival. And I grew very, very nervous that somebody bad, someone very conservative, someone who wants me to be outed and shamed in a number of things could Google my name and then out me. Mm-hmm. And so then it was like, oh, shoot. We have to take actual steps to get out of circles where the salary and paycheck depend on me being in the closet.
Right. We were like, our livelihood can no longer depend on Beecher being male.
Yes. And so how do we do this? Because I was loving life on a personal level, loving being alone, loving my home life, loving my marriage, like all of this. And then going to a place where I was in hiding. And the reality is the next part of the story gets really complicated and I'm still working through a lot of emotions. The very, very short of it is I am no longer working at a conservative place. I'm no longer working technically anywhere. I'm doing freelance, filmmaking, directing, doing some editing, first ADing. It's been really weird to contemplate and figure out all the emotions between it. And I know I'm talking in a lot of vague terms.
There's just some ongoing things that we cannot discuss.
There's ongoing things we cannot discuss. And also, it's way easier to talk about things that are eight years ago.
Right. Now we're to the present. It's like, oh, here's all of our secrets now.
It's complicated. Yeah. It's confusing. It's a number of things. And that's one of the reasons we want to continue doing the private podcast, is we will get into all of this. And I'm fine to share it in a private circles. I'm just not ready at this point to blast it out to the airwaves. But I will say something that was really, really positive this past fall was that my therapist put together a therapy group for gender nonconforming people. And so I did 12 weeks of group therapy with 11 other trans people. That was wonderful. It was so wonderful to get to sit down and hear other stories. And I think it was such a big confidence booster for me, because I would see these trans women come into this room. They had fully transitioned. They were beautiful. Like, they are so beautiful. And they would sit there, arms crossed, and talk about the shame that they deal with and how they don't feel pretty and how just a number of things. And I'm looking at them and I wanted to be like, you're gorgeous. Like, go out there, like, seize the day, like, be yourself, be authentic. Like, who cares what other people think, even though you are gorgeous? And if you saw what I saw, you would have so much confidence. And I realized that I started being able to say those words to myself as I wanted to go out and address. And I was like, wait a minute, if I'm willing to say this to 11 other people I'm sitting in group with, why am I not willing to say it to myself? And that was a really big shift for me, that I got to meet other trans people, similar stories with similar aspects, different aspects. I'll say this again because it's so important. There's a saying, if you've met one trans person, you've met one trans person. Please do not take what we're talking about in this podcast and force what worked for us and our path on other people. Once again, every story is so different. Get to know people, walk with them, and you can take principles and ideas, but once again, don't take. And so that was something else I learned from hearing all these other people's stories, is like, oh, okay, I don't have to go from fitting in this male cishet box and now have to go change myself so I can fit in the non-binary box.
Right.
Like, I can just be myself. Mm-hmm. And that's enough, because there was such a variety in the room.
I remember you had a lot of stress too, because you had an interview a couple months ago. It was your first interview since being non-binary, and the people that were interviewing you knew you were non-binary, and you had a little bit of stress of being like, well, what if they don't think I look non-binary enough? And we're like, yeah. No, the point of that is, like, you are yourself. You dress what makes you comfortable and how you feel the most you.
Yeah. And I think, once again, looking back at that group and thinking of how different so many of the other 11 people were presenting, gave me confidence to do that. And so that was really great. And then, I mean, goodness, we're basically here.
Yeah. I this past February was when you decided to come out publicly. And that was when we started this podcast. We recorded our first episode the night you came out, I think, night after.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much... We're pretty much caught up. Our relationship is healthy, but even still now, like, I still have days, like, I have, you know, I hate to say it, but I still have my moments where it's hard. I care too much about what other people think, and I know what people say about me, and, you know, there's been some family drama on extended sides,
so talking briefly about where we are today. A couple weeks ago, I was feeling very feminine, and I was dressing. I think I was in a dress, and I was like, hey, do you want to be intimate? Like, I'm into it if you're up for it tonight. And you were like, okay. And then you were like, and I was like, what? And you're like, I'm just not finding the feminine attractive tonight. And I was like, okay. So we can just not do it tonight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we can just, like,
well, I've also learned too, on nights, if I'm not, and that's, for the record, like, that's not just when Beecher's feminine. There's been nights where I just wasn't in the mood or wasn't attracted to Beecher, like, even in male form. Like, that's just life. So. Right,
and that would have spiraled me and caused a big fight. And 2 weeks ago, you said it, and I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to change who I am so that you're attracted to me.
And
so
I'm
not going to shift. So let's just put it off and do
it. Well, and I had also learned, too, because there had been plenty of nights where I wasn't really feeling it, but I didn't want to disappoint you, so we had sex anyway. And then it ended up being, like, mediocre sex, and you would be more frustrated because you could tell that I wasn't in the mood. And so
when we're intimate, I like emotional connection. That's what I'm going in for. And I want that. And when we don't get that one or two times in a row, I get frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're up for sexy time and sometimes you're not. That's just part of life.
Yeah. And so I think that was a really good moment, because I was like, okay, cool. We won't do it tonight.
It was actually really refreshing for me too, because I didn't see, like, a negative repercussion for me being honest.
No. Yeah. It was like, all right, great. And then we moved on. But, like, today I went shopping for some really cute sandals. I needed some women's shoes, size 12 shoes. There's so few places that sell size 12 women's shoes. Come on, if you are a shoe creator, step it up, make some more size 12 women's shoes. But we went these places today with our kids. I was wearing a women's tank top. Like, I'm looking, I've got makeup on.
You still look
on.
Like you have a little bit of eyeliner on.
Or, earrings, yeah, mascara. Like, earrings, my hair is straight and, like, down. And, like, I look pretty non-binary, I would say. Yeah. And you were great. I mean, we were in public places.
Honestly, didn't even, like, you just are Beecher.
Right. But I was in women's shoes section, trying on shoes, showing them to you, and you are nothing but supportive and great. And that's the thing. I can take you in the bedroom saying, like, hey, I'm just not attracted tonight, and I've got to just not do this. I will take that so willingly if then you can just back me up and support me on a personal love level that's not based on physical attraction.
You know who didn't like you being more femme, though? That bird.
Oh my gosh. If you want to, okay, so I just posted a TikTok. You can go hear the story and see a video.
It's a true story.
I will tell this very quickly. So
And you went shopping yesterday too.
So I went shopping yesterday and I bought two dresses. I went shopping in a dress out in my conservative town, and it was wonderful.
With
a friend, and she is so amazing, at Gianni System, if you want to check her out. She was wonderful. She was with me and was just, is so fierce and strong, and was like, great, we're picking these clothes out, we're going to the dressing room, we want to try these on. And she gave me so many good thoughts and notes, and my cheeks were sore from smiling so much. But yesterday she was like, Beecher, you need to walk with more confidence. Here, let me teach you. Shoulders back, and then kind of strut. Taught me how to strut. And so I practiced a little bit yesterday, and then today I saw myself, I was walking up to a shoe store, and I was just going in, April and the girls were still in the car. I was walking up and I saw myself in the glass mirror and I thought, dang, I look good. I'm going to practice my strut. So I start strutting and I'm like, oh, I really got this. And then I see like a whoosh right in front of my face, like a swoop, something swooped down. I was like, what was that? And then I felt like wind in my hair. I'm like, what is happening? And then literally, guys, a bird pecked me on the arm. I look and I'm getting attacked by a bird. So my strut quickly turned into a panicked frenzy of whipping my arms around. I run inside the store, wait for the bird to go away, then run back out to the van, tell April about it. April doesn't believe me.
It wasn't that I didn't believe you, but I was like, really? Are you sure it was a bird? I'm like, yes, it did. I promise you. It was like, if you go out there, it's going to attack you. And I was like, I don't think it will. And so I get out of the van. I was like, well, film this in case it does attack me. Maybe we'll go viral.
At Hello Beecher, you can go see the video. The bird definitely attacks April. And I
it
was
did
actually,
attack me.
And once I realized April's life was not in danger, I was actually quite relieved, because I was like, oh, good. My very glamorous strut doesn't attract birds to come peck out my eyes. Good, because I don't know if I would have done it anymore. And so it was great that it was attacking everyone. It's quite funny, so you can check it out there. We are up to today.
Yes. So for those of you, we have received quite a few questions. So we have questions that we will address next week. But if there are any questions out of any of the episodes, anything that we've said of our story, any questions about currently,
feel free to ask any questions. We'll draw the lines of what we'll answer and what we won't answer. And if we don't answer a question in the next episode, we'll record a private podcast for our subscribers and we'll get that out there. We'll answer in more detail what's next, what we're really kind of doing in this as far as like how we want our message to continue to spread, and career-wise, and just a number of things. So we'll get to all that next time, along with your questions.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. This has been such an amazing journey. And email us your questions, nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. Follow us at April A. Joy and at Hello Beecher.
And check out our new Patreon for more cool opportunities.
Yes, and you can support us and what we're doing, and we can all be one big continuous community.
Wonderful. Well, we will see you next week for the Q&A.
Thanks for listening to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. We would love if you would take the time to leave us a review or a 5-star rating wherever you listen. And if you need to get a hold of us, you can email us at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com or individually on TikTok or Instagram at April A. Joy or at Hello Beecher. Stay tuned for new episodes coming out weekly. Thanks again for listening.